This Kansas City Bastards podcast has been approved by the United States Department of Manliness. Hello and welcome to the Kansas City Bastards podcast. I'm Tim Lyons.
And I'm JD.
And
that's about it.
Bizarrely missing is everybody else. I guess it's that time of year. Everybody's got family stuff and whatnot. And
yeah.
It's just hard to get people over here to podcast, I guess.
It's okay. We'll make it work.
Yeah. I'm sure if we were getting paid for this somehow, they would probably find a way.
Or they get... Well, we just get more money.
Yeah.
It'd be all right.
Yeah, it'd be more
it'd be
for us.
It'd be holiday pay for us.
That'd be perfectly fine. So what have you been up to this past week, JD?
Oh, my gosh. I've been finishing up this week's work for intending to go on my vacation actually this coming week. But then I tell you what, that's Saturday morning. I got hit hard by the flu thing.
Oh, yeah?
I know it's my voice is a little bit, because of that, it sounds a little bad. But tell you what. There's a couple of things like Theraflu and a few little early strong like things that you put in a drink.
Yeah.
Kick the shit out of this flu.
Yeah, yeah. That'll Jägermeister will do the trick too.
Jägermeister too, yes, yes.
I don't know. Alcohol's self-cleaning, right?
Yeah.
It's a solvent of sorts.
The Jägermeister used to be what, a stomach aspirative, so it's good for your tummy.
Well, you know, I honestly don't know whether it does anything more than just make you sleep it off. Honestly,
that's quite true.
It's an herbal liqueur. It seems to help, but then again, you know, whatever. I mean, sometimes you just need to be able to sleep, and drowsy sleep is better than no sleep at all. I guess. True. Yeah. So,
getting prepared for a show this week. We have,
We've got a show on Black Friday at the All Star Rock Bar.
Yeah, Casey right? Bastards, yeah. Exeter. I mean, there's two bands, and it's going to be like kind of a kick ass. What are we doing between the sets? Have we got that figured out yet?
There's going to be some sort of spectacle involving odd cover songs and
the bands is having
and
fun
the bands
on the stage
and whatnot. Yeah, I mean, we figured, you know, I don't know. It's one of those scenarios where we have a little bit more time than we're typically used to, because normally we'd pile on the bands a little bit more. But as a result, we figured we just screw around in a way that we thought would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
And so,
I will say the whole thing with the Rockstar All-Star Bar that we're doing the show at is they've opened up Friday nights, so for this kind of thing anyways, where it's old school, but used to be three bands a night and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bands got paid the entire door money. They didn't have to cover some $250 sound guy or $150 sound guy.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have to deal with selling tickets or any of that other stuff, you know. So it's kind of nice that they're willing to do this, but it's kind of one of those things where they got to prove that they can. I mean, part of the reason why they started doing that, and we'll talk about that later with the Afton thing, but part of the reason why bars start doing this is because people just stop bringing enough people for these kind of things to be worthwhile to them. So hopefully it stays good. I'm sure it will be good. Black Friday's a tough one. It's either going
to
be really
busy or
dead. Yeah,
I mean, it's
going
to be a pain in the dick to try to get people out anyway, because the weather looks like it may be frightful
and whatnot.
I mean, I don't know. When it boils down to it, I mean, if it's going to be like freezing rain and stuff like that, and nobody's going to come out anyway, I mean, you know.
We'll probably call it, but let's not do that yet, but yeah.
But you know, if the weather holds off, then it should be a super fun time, and it's going to be a cheap show. And
$5,
they've got cheap drinks, and it should be just a good time.
I think they said they have a bottomless cup. It's actually pretty cool. They got for $15, you can either get well drinks, real liquor, or you can go with draft beer for the same $15.
Yep.
Usually that doesn't happen with the whole well drinks thing, but
yeah, just make sure not to take too heavy advantage of it, because DUIs are a lot more expensive. So
true.
At least that's what I hear. So I guess this is something that I just briefly want to touch on, because it just happened to me today, and It's something that just annoyed the ever-loving crap out of me. So they built a new McDonald's over by my area.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And this new McDonald's, you know, recently opened up, and it's like all 5 minutes away from me. I don't even have to get on a major street to get to it. I could walk to it if I wanted to, but what's the point? It's McDonald's, right?
Right, well, yeah.
Well, so I go through the drive-thru, and I decide to change my mind, you know, when you get up there. Normally, they have, like, an escape route, right? You know, like any drive-thru, you know, just in case, I don't know, they tell you that they're not taking credit cards at that time or something like that, you're able to pull off and get around everybody and get out without interrupting everything.
Right.
Not this one.
Oh, they got the lanes, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
and they're double lanes probably now too, aren't they?
It's two lanes and then it converges back into one. But there's no escape route at all. you have to go through the entire gauntlet. So today I went there because I thought, maybe before we podcast and whatnot, I'm not going to have time to get any other food or whatever, you know.
We should be playing the Weird Al Yankovic Trapped in the Drive-Thru.
Yeah. So literally I was trapped in the drive-thru and I had to very embarrassingly tell the people, no, I didn't actually order. I'm trapped in the stupidly designed drive-thru. And it wasn't like I could back out either. Like normally if they're going to have this sort of design, at least they wouldn't have like a super long run up to the drive-thru to where if you decided, not like when you get to the menu, but like when you first get up in line,
yeah.
Like, you know, oh, my wife actually picked up lunch. Well, let me at least back out and get out, right?
Yep.
No, that can't happen because it's like, you know, it's like the entire building length all just walled in.
Yeah. You bucked the trend because the idea behind it is that if somebody happens to do that and decide they really don't want it, you're supposed to at least get the bare minimum, like a soda and some fries, make it look like you're not really
You
didn't actually, you know, to kind of cover the fact that you didn't really want
it. I just didn't feel like it at the time. I thought I was going to do it, and then I'm like, yeah, I really don't want McDonald's. And I ended up having to wait the entire friggin' line anyway. So that's...
That's funny.
That's my anecdote about the McDonald's drive-thru today, but I don't know. It kind of is what it is. So you briefly mentioned, when we were talking about the show, you mentioned Afton. It's like a service called Afton, a company called Afton.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Afton, at least from what you've heard.
Well, I mean, I saw a band that I know of that's relatively new, and they were playing the Granada. And I kind of was a little curious about how they got on the show at the Granada, but I saw the show said Afton, you know, whatever on it. So then I looked up the bookings for Afton and find out who they were, if they're kind of on the up and up, what was the story. And it says, you know, right on their page, we're for the artists, by the artists, we put on shows, we give you the opportunity to play the shows. And so I said, well, that sounds kind of interesting. Maybe let's go through this thing and go through the steps. You know, it's like 12 page steps to get your band up on this thing, right?
Yeah.
And you got to give them all your
and it says it's free for the artists, you know.
Yeah, free for the artists to do, which it didn't cost me anything to sign up for it, I'm sure. But as you get to that point where near the end, like, it says here that in our experience that any band that can't sell at least their 20 tickets that they're not going to draw anybody normally, and it wouldn't be worth us to have it. It's like, wait, what?
So okay. It's just the ticket sales thing.
It's a ticket sales thing, yeah. Which, you know, I guess my deal on a ticket sales is like this. If you have a band that I want to play with that's a bigger name band that you have to cover the dollars to pay those guys.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like for an apartment, they got Nonpoint tonight. Great, great band, good show up at Aftershock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's bands in town that really want to play with those guys. They want to say, hey, I was on the stage with these guys. And you know what? When I put some of the other bands up on this thing for Oklahoma, they want to know what other bands you got to play with. So it's not a bad thing to have it on your resume that you got to play with this Nonpoint. And it's really not a bad thing to even have to sell tickets because a lot of times in other cities, you have to pay to play and you don't get a chance to get in your money back.
True.
But if it's a local show, even if it's at the Granada or the Uptown Theater or any of those places, and you actually have to like sell a minimum number of tickets for them to be happy with you, that just sucks.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Well, and not to demonize the whole practice too, because you know at least when you're the type of person who will get a bunch of maybes, you know, or something like that, you know, it can at least lock people into funding the show, even if they don't show up. Like if they don't show up and there's not a bunch of bodies there, but yeah, you actually sold the tickets. Well, the money's been made. It sucks that they're not there, but they made that decision.
Yeah,
and they funded that. You know?
And I mean, at the end of the day, each of these things are a business, and people put on shows for a business. A lot of times it's in a place that sells alcohol.
It's so a really shitty business, though.
It is. It's a tough business. It's horrible.
I mean, not even that it's a tough business. It's just like nobody treats it like that. Like, nobody actually treats it like a business, or there would be far different practices. Like,
sure.
Like, everybody... basically treats it as, how can I get other people to do the work for me and me not have to do it myself?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In this day and age, it's tough because everything's so central, or it's so circled around the social media aspect of things.
Yeah.
And then social media is trying very hard to make sure it's not. It doesn't work. Like, I went in to invite somebody to a show. I think it was our show, actually.
Yeah.
I got to 500 and wouldn't let me do it
no
anymore.
Longer. Yeah.
So then how do you get like all the people that are Exeter's friends that aren't my friends always? How do you get them to even see this stuff? How do you, is it, what, a poster on a wall?
Well, I guess you have to pay Facebook. You know, they want you to pay them to advertise to people in Sierra Leone, which we'll talk about somebody from Sierra Leone later, you know, but yeah, I don't know. Like I've actually experimented with a couple of the posts that we've got, with actually paying Facebook, you know, shoot them $5 or whatever and see how it does.
Right.
You know, and supposedly, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people would have seen it.
Right.
These were YouTube videos that are free to watch.
Sure.
So, you know, they're the type of things that they'll show 12 people out of the 600 that like us on Facebook if I don't give them money for it.
Correct.
So it's like almost worthless to even put it on the page.
Right.
But if I give them money for it, you know, they'll show 2,000 or 3,000 people that maybe one or two of them will click. So it's just not worth it.
It just seems, yeah.
It's just not worth it in any way, shape, or form. There's no way to mobilize people in that way unless people are consistently engaged with your page to the point where they're actively seeking it out constantly. But, you know, at that point, it's like, well, you know, you might as well just have a regular website.
Yeah. Well, it's so tough, though, because, like, I know that, like, the pitch, they put stuff in the pitch, and it still costs you for, like, a full side of an ad where, like, I know that Roxy does this. They take out a whole side and put all the stuff going on for the week, which is great stuff, but it still costs $200-$300.
Sure.
And if the bands coming in don't draw enough people to cover that, that's pretty tough to keep doing.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's tough to keep doing, but at the same time, if the advertisement itself doesn't draw enough people in to cover it, then it's not doing its own job.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is, how do you know it's working as a point? You know what I mean?
Well,
unless you put like a little like half off thing in there that they cut out and bring it in, then maybe you have a clue if it came from there. But
yeah, I mean, actually, the from an experimental standpoint, having a band that didn't do any flyering themselves, you know, would be like the perfect way to test whether that sort of advertisement worked.
Yeah, true.
Do you know? I mean, it's like, oh, hey, there's this thing going on. Let's go check it out. I mean, part of that's going to be name recognition of the bands too,
yeah.
Sure. But if nobody picks up the pitch, then it's not gonna help.
Yeah. Well,
kind of like you were saying, trying to cover Nonpoint. You know, trying to cover whatever national band, their guarantee or whatever. Well, the whole idea of getting the national band to begin with is to not have to worry about that because they'll draw based on their name.
Well, that'd be the idea behind it. But the truth is unless it's a really, really big, big band, and Nonpoint's not a really, really big band. They're more like a in between big and small. They're a great band. I like them.
They're not
played on the radio that often.
They're well known enough. I mean, they did the Miami Vice movie soundtrack.
They did, yes. But I'm saying is, like,
I know that, and I don't listen to anything else from those guys. I mean, come on.
You're actually correct. But the reality is it doesn't work. It doesn't draw like.
Well, then they shouldn't get as big of a guarantee. I mean, that's kind of the way that goes. So if they insist they don't get booked. I mean, it all comes down to it's a shitty field right now anyway, because nobody wants to go out and see shows.
That's true.
You know, it's tough to get normal people out there, and it's the same age old issue where ever since the internet came out and people can basically go and watch YouTube videos of whatever they feel like.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, do I want to go out and spend money or just hang out
here?
Money?
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough.
Like, why go out? I have a kegerator.
True.
Do I need to go to a bar?
You need to go out because you cannot find the O-ring.
Oh, yeah. God, that's a whole other thing. Anyway, that concludes the time we have for that segment. We're going to play some Strive. We're going to play Bury Me Under here in a second. But if you have any comments, contact at kcbastards.com. Of course, tweet at KC Bastards or comment anywhere you happen to see this. We'll be happy to take your comment under advisement and probably ignore everything you say. Anyway, here's Bury Me Under by Strive. Well, that was Bury Me Under by Strive, and the dead air at the end buried me under a little bit there. Okay. Well, anyway,
They probably like the old days when they had, like, the hidden track, and it's like...
Yeah, and you
very end, it's like, bye, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we had that on one of our albums back when we were LIE. We had the album Die Trying, and... There's a song after the last song, you know, and we just had like 2 minutes of silence and then came in with the other song. You know?
I remember when, you know,
that's common practice.
CD players in your car were first brand new, and that was the big deal. Is I, you'd find out which album right away has like the extra track because it'd flip to at the end.
Yeah, because it's like you're not exactly in a position to be screwing around with changing CDs immediately.
You weren't watching it or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'll change it, you know, when I can. But then you'd have like things like some of the Korn albums had like a bunch of blank tracks, like a bunch of really short blank tracks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I remember that some of them was actually songs, and other times it'd just be talking. You know, it'd be like talking about what's going on or some sort of laugh track at the end or something they're doing that was funny or some crap like that.
Yeah, I mean, I always looked for the ones with hidden songs and whatnot. And, of course, there's not a lot that comes to mind at the moment because, you know, nowadays it's not a common practice to do that. No. But,
I miss MP3s some things like that, though. I miss also like inside the album covers you'd find little snippets of things. You can't even really have album covers anymore, but...
Yeah. I mean, nowadays you can still have an album cover. You put the album art online or whatever, and they've got the, everybody's got their own little format that they want it in, but most of the time it's reasonably common. And actually, like iTunes, I had to create new art for some of our stuff on iTunes because it wasn't high resolution enough. I guess they wanted to get super high resolution with it. So. Yeah. I don't know. It is what it is.
Yep.
But
do you do vector drawings?
No, I suck at vector stuff. I can't do Illustrator for shit. I do everything with Photoshop, and I just do it at 350 DPI typically. Unless I feel like I'm going to need to scale it significantly, in which case I'll do it at even a higher DPI resolution than that, higher density, and then also ridiculously high resolution. So. Like our logo, the original is like 600 DPI and like 4K resolution.
It works.
It does its job.
Right on.
So, anyway, you know, so if it printed, it would be super sharp. But let's talk about things that aren't quite as sharp. So a Sierra Leone doctor dies of Ebola at a Nebraska hospital. So this doctor was in Sierra Leone. Came back, was sick, heard about that in the media, quarantined and whatnot, and now he died. He died of Ebola. So that's
two.
Yeah.
It's an epidemic.
Nickelback still has more decent songs than people who have died from Ebola in the United States.
Questionably.
Well, questionably. Listenable songs.
They're all listenable. They're just whether they're good or not is the question.
there's more reasonably acceptable episodes of Glee.
I will say that it is pretty close to home, though. I kind of freaked me out about being so close, but
what, Nebraska?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know.
What are you gonna do with the body? Burn it right away? But I mean, they talked about the guys in the people were going crazy about it down in Texas when they had to drive the all the waste off of the guy that died before.
Oh yeah,
his clothes and everything else. They had to take it somewhere to get incinerated.
I would have figured they would have an incinerator on hand. It's not like biohazards are a thing that hospitals don't deal with constantly.
That's right. You'd think they'd be right away.
It's bizarre. Anyway, I don't know. The weird thing that I heard about Ebola recently was how long it stays in semen.
Oh.
Believe it or not.
Longer in the semen, the more often?
Yeah, well, okay, so if you get sick with Ebola, right, and somebody were to lick your face, right, after you showed symptoms, then yeah, they've got a pretty good chance of getting it. But after you are long cured, like 2 or 3 months afterwards, it'll stay in your semen, apparently. And it will actually be able to spread the disease.
Oh, that's not good.
So they're starting to quarantine folks more in certain areas than they had before because of that.
What about the girls?
Yeah, for a longer period of time.
There's that nurse that survived it, remember?
I don't know how it works out as far as other bodily fluids from that standpoint. I honestly don't know. I only read about semen.
Oh, okay.
So
she might be a squirter.
Who knows? It's difficult to say. I don't know if any sort of vaginal discharge would have that kind of effect.
I don't know. That's a pretty odd one, though. Of all the things that keep it in, is like the semen holds it longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird. Anyways.
I don't know. It's so bizarre. But so do your best not to sleep with somebody who had Ebola. That would probably be preferable. Thankfully, you've got a higher chance of getting struck by lightning twice on your way to claim your winning lottery ticket than you do
contracting Ebola.
Contracting Ebola in the United States currently. Or, you know, you've got a much higher chance of being president because there have been more presidents than there have been Ebola patients.
Yeah.
So bear that in mind.
Not black presidents, just one.
Right. You've got a higher chance of being president in the last 20 years than you do dying from Ebola. So, although dying from cops is a whole other matter entirely.
And it seems like it's an, I was wondering about the Ferguson thing because, you know, the Ferguson trial was supposed to be announced. And
yeah,
there was a
now the officer, Darren Wilson, I believe, something like that. I thought he was in talks to resign, you know, or something along those lines, but it wasn't made clear whether there were any actual revelations in this autopsy.
It's hard to say because, I mean, at the end of the day, every single little bit of back-asswards website has their own opinion on it, and they keep posting shit that I'm like,
did you
even look that up or just make that up?
I can pull facts out of my anus as well.
Yeah. but the circumstantial evidence.
Did you know that beekeepers have the highest instance of hepatitis C of any other profession?
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's because it's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
You see how that works?
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's okay because everybody heard it on the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah. Well, I think, but my point is that you know, before the whole Ferguson thing, and even after that, we see lots of stuff. In fact, you got a pretty good example right there.
Yeah,
you know, people. You know, but the Ferguson one kind of looks like it. Outside looking in, like there is actually some smoke to the whole thing about the fire being, you know, on the kids' side of things. You know.
Well, and again, I mean, it's difficult to say because the websites haven't calmed down enough to actually like. Here's the thing: the public at large doesn't seem to be rioting at this point.
No,
so there's not enough conventional media coverage about it.
I think the media is actually making it worse. I think that they're
the media was making it worse before, but right now it's the fringe media that's making it worse.
Right,
you know, things like the Conservative Tribune or whatever the hell it is, and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, turns out he was actually being a thug. Okay, yeah, using the word thug. I bet you also think that all black men who have a command of the English language are well spoken. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just there are little bits and pieces here that you see on Facebook and whatnot that people post, but who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But interestingly, what I saw was this Cleveland rookie cop shot and killed a 12-year-old holding a BB gun.
BB gun. Yeah. That's not the first time I've heard that, actually.
That's not the first time I've heard that either. And I wonder what kind of BB gun it was. I mean, I actually looked, and they just said BB gun in the article that I saw.
If it was just like a Daisy Red Ryder, I would think that would be kind of bullshit. But there's, you know, even with your airsoft guns, I can see where you'd be shot at pretty quickly.
Oh, are you kidding? The airsoft guns I got because they look realistic on camera.
Right.
So, you know, that's...
But you get back to, like, the... Remember you could buy, like, a 1911, basically, BB gun, but...
Yeah, I've got a Beretta 92F BB gun.
Yeah.
You know, you can still buy them. You can buy them perfectly easily.
And you know, they all come with a little orange nose on them. They're legal not to have the orange on there, but, you know, Sharpie takes care of that pretty quickly. So, I mean, I didn't see the what kind of gun it was, but at the same time, if you or anybody are stupid enough to point a gun at an officer of any type of gun, doesn't matter if it's a freaking blank gun or cap gun for that matter, that's pretty stupid. Now, that doesn't change the fact that it sucks that a 12-year-old kid got shot. But
yeah, basically, here's what occurred. So, and again, it's not clear what kind of BB gun it was. So, a police officer was called to the recreation center in Cleveland when a 911 caller reported that there was, quote, a male with a gun, quote, end quote, sitting outside the center. The 12-year-old boy had been sitting with his friends, and a concerned man watching him across the street called police to report the, you know, child wielding the BB gun, asserting on his 911 call that the gun was, quote, probably fake, end quote, and that the man with a gun was probably a juvenile. Responding officers were apparently never relayed information about the doubt. So,
okay.
As far as they knew, it was just, hey, there's a guy with a gun.
Out front of us.
And,
yeah.
And then they told the kid to raise his hands, and he reached for his waistband.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's like a perfect storm of really shitty situation.
Bad deal, yeah.
I don't know if the cop's at fault here.
I don't know what I mean?
Like, unless it was, unless it was like a bright day glow orange, you know, BB gun
paper. Yeah,
you know, if it were, clear if one. It looked reasonably realistic in any way, shape, or form, he wouldn't have known.
I'm really surprised that they didn't have the taser out though. I mean, I think that's your first go-to weapon as a taser, isn't it, in that situation? Or maybe it's because it said it was a gun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to go up against a what could be a potentially legitimately armed assailant with a taser.
Well, if a guy had,
I don't know what their training indicates, though. But
if somebody even had the gun out like that, be one thing, and they even had it in their hands like they could, like they're trying to raise it, I can see that. But if it was still tucked in the pants and just went like that, I would think they would want to tase first and then shoot later. But that's.
Well,
a situation.
But,
I wasn't. He's rookie. And I'm not there.
I wasn't there. I've never gone through cop training. I'm just saying, that's like the worst thing you can do if somebody tells you to put your hands up.
Yeah, and go the opposite direction towards the gun.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's not a smart thing.
BB gun or not.
And to be honest, 12-year-old kids nowadays are almost as big. In fact, my stepson, when he was 12, he had a mustache. I don't know if that's because of the hormones in the food nowadays or just kids are growing up faster. But
it could be. I don't know.
You can't really tell a 12-year-old sometimes anymore, or between a 20-year-old or an 18-year-old for that matter. So.
Yeah, it's difficult to say. But I don't know, man. That's just a bad situation. But again, interestingly, I unlike a lot of cases you hear about nowadays, I don't think the cop was in the wrong there.
No.
Yeah. It is what it is. But then again, hey, soon we'll have crime-fighting robots.
Right. What?
Crime-fighting robots. Yeah, apparently there are crime-fighting robots on patrol in Silicon Valley. And these things look hilarious. Honestly, it looks like Apple made Daleks. Because they're like, I don't know, they kind of look like that, you know, in Wall-E.
Wall-E,
you know,
yeah.
You know, the other.
One?
Yeah, the
the one that was actually looking for the green?
Right, yeah. It's the same sort of
shape. Yeah, it's kind of like a dildo,
Yeah, it's white and kind of egg-shaped, and it's super, I don't know, super hilarious looking.
I gotta wonder. I mean, I wonder if they're like they just kind of bumble around, or what they actually do to get people, or they actually are kind of like badass and just flatten out and roll out with guns out and stuff whenever someone does something really wrong.
this. Big Hero 6 just came out. Did you see Big Hero 6? Have you seen that?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, well, I went and saw Big Hero 6 just because, you know, Disney Animation Studios is kind of like Pixar nowadays. Yeah. I mean, they're getting to be that same quality. And,
sure.
And this reminds me of something out of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of a sight thing, but look up these robots. If you just look for crime-fighting robots in Silicon Valley and you Google that shit, you'll see a picture of these things, I'm sure, and they just look like some sort of large egg-shaped sex toy.
How exactly do they work? I mean, do they like go knock on people's doors when something bad's happening?
I mean, it looks like they've got some alarms and they've got cameras and this and that. They're autonomous. They don't chase bad guys down or make arrests.
They just report shit, huh?
Yeah, the what they do is basically send video to actual humans.
Oh,
so,
gotcha. Okay.
You know. And you know, they're I guess listening for glass breakage or any loud sound that would indicate bad things happening. Then they'll get like a license plate number or whatever, make it easier to track people down and with burglaries and everything.
Yeah, so they're foot patrol basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's a little bit dystopian.
Yeah, it's a little different, isn't it? Yeah,
you
yeah,
know, I don't know if I'm a big fan of robots with cameras patrolling the streets. That seems just a little bit.
I don't know.
What's the word? Orwellian.
Orwellian, 1984-ish? Yes.
So.
Well, you know, they have cameras everywhere anymore, it seems like, so I guess I got to just add that many more.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know.
It's a little bit. I agree. It's kind of weird. Definitely strange.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's actually necessary in that area. I mean, I could see this in downtown Detroit being the good thing.
Well,
actually, Ed 209.
A crime-fighting robot in Detroit? Really? Oh, yeah. That's never been thought of before, man.
Sorry. I didn't even think about that for a second.
Oh, that's really funny.
Okay, better yet, L.A. But, of course, in L.A., they'd just be painted over all the lights and just be done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose, I don't know. I'd have to see these things in motion, but I'm still just a little bit uncomfortable with the idea of a bunch of cameras on robots going around the streets of any city in America, you know. America, you know.
I'm surprised they're not like the hoverbots instead, you know, like the Amazon's doing.
They'd be drones.
Because, I mean, you want to this, and you want to take those stuff and just destroy it, you could really just drive
Have you seen the hoverboard, the actual hoverboard that people have made?
I saw something that
the Hendo hoverboard?
Yeah, but I didn't see it actually running. Does it actually lift them off?
Oh, yeah. In fact, Tony Hawk is a way to say sort of sorry for the Funny or Die thing that they did like a year ago.
Yeah.
There's video of him trying to ride on one and
failing.
It looks pretty real because he didn't do quite well, quite as well as he'd hoped. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of video of people riding around on this thing, but it needs a special kind of floor.
It's
gotta be like a copper floor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's like a magnetic thing or something. Yeah.
But, the actual levitation technology looks like it will be like real great for warehouses and stuff like that. I mean, if you have an area where you've got that floor,
perfect then.
You can basically carry any load and not have to worry about, you know, wheels and whatnot. So
I tell you, we have actually in Mexico at one of our plants, I have a die shoe system that's magnetic. And this is like 500 pounds worth of dies. That you can you hit the button and it'll actually like cause a space between the die so you can pull it out with zero strength.
Uh-huh.
So it gets past that stuff. You've got to have something holding it, otherwise it'll go.
But
then when you get it back in place, you hit the thing and everything goes and it stays. And it you wouldn't think it'd have enough strength, but it's like maglev type technology.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I figure it's strong enough to lift trains. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Magnets, how do they work? I don't know. But we'll, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a bit. But that concludes the time we have for this segment. When we come back, we will be talking about Bill Cosby because, you know, man, that's a fun
shit.
Train wreck. We'll also talk about our Florida man for the week. And we'll talk about a tapeworm in a guy's brain.
That's this week's note.
Yeah. So we're going to play some Shadow Sin. Here's Break the Silence. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right. Well, that was Shadow Sin with Break the Silence. And it's always good to hear those guys. I like their stuff. I liked it when they were soulless as well.
I didn't mind them at all. Yeah, they're soulless.
Yeah. A little bit of a different style, but kind of, similar-ish.
Yeah, I was talking to her at the, they got to play the Freakers Ball again this year, which is kind of cool. And she's like, well, you know, I'm happy we got to play it again. I wasn't sure, whatever. And she's like, but it kind of like, you know, just, it's wherever Soulless left off is where they're at now, and they're doing their own thing, and it's working out pretty good for them.
Yeah, that's good, because it seemed like there was a fair amount of drama associated with with Soulless going into being Shadow Sin at that point.
Well, there was a, yeah. Well,
we won't get into that too much, I suppose, because I don't know overall. You know, I just remember some Facebook posts that were pretty dramatic.
Nasty. Yeah, yeah.
So, but I don't know. They seemed like good people anyway.
Yeah, they play good stuff. Bring a lot of people. So good band.
Yeah. So let's talk about. Let's talk about the guy who actually had something in his brain that should impair it before we talk about Bill Cosby.
Okay.
So.
Nope.
So this guy in the UK went to the doctors, and doctors found a tapeworm. The guy had been suffering from headaches for years.
Years?
Yeah. And they did a scan, and they found a friggin' tapeworm. And the... again,
that's scary as hell.
I don't want people to look this up necessarily because it's such a nope sort of thing. But it's just a freaky looking picture, man. You know, I actually looked at the, like they had a, it was on the I Fucking Love Science page, and they actually showed
the tapeworm or
a picture of one of those tapeworms up close, and it was just super ridiculous.
You know, back in the way days, the whole what do you call it, Victorian times, that was the way that women would lose weight, is they'd eat a tapeworm and have it in their stomach so they could
and they were advertised as being weight loss.
Yeah, and they worked that way. But you got to think about that. Okay, so that's how you lose weight, by not eating a tapeworm. What? How many years does it have to be there before your brain's completely eaten away?
I don't honestly know how long it would need to be there.
Pretty fucking scary, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of having a tapeworm at all is unpleasant, to say the least. Obviously, normally they'd live in your gut, if anywhere, and that's
kind of the question I was asking. How did you get it in your head in the first place? Did it like jump out of an ulcer and go up your stomach, or?
Let me see if I can find it. For some reason, the article closed on me.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm finding it again right now. It's definitely a nope sort of situation.
Talk about these things. I think there's actually like a whole show dedicated to weird things inside people's bodies and stuff like that. And they have like there's actually a set of like worms that will eat on people's brain too. But I had never heard of a tapeworm exactly.
Right. Yeah. Again, I know there's a lot of things that'll actually legitimately eat your brain, and we're not even talking about zombies for a second, but like, you know, you've got different there's like prions, which is like a mutated protein that's where Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease or mad cow comes from,
right?
And of course you've got various parasites that you might find. I mean, the believe it or not, the worms. Kind of like in The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, earworms?
Earworms. Yeah, that shit exists. Wow, so
that's scary. I always wondered if, like, when we were talking about this earlier, whether or not, since alcohol is a killer of brain cells.
Yeah, here we go. Look at this. Of course, that looks like the worst.
It looks like a sex toy.
It looks like the worst alien penis ever.
Yeah. It goes in but doesn't come out.
Right. And you could see the scans, the brain scans too. The guy had,
like, he has multiple ones.
He had headaches and seizures. And he was experiencing strange smells and memory flashbacks. There are only 300 cases of infection by this parasite in humans since 1953. So it's like a type of tapeworm, and they tracked the progress of this for 4 years, until they were able to, I guess, remove it, and it's freaking ridiculous.
Because it was in a spot they couldn't actually access it?
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's in the middle of a brain, you're not exactly going to go and, you know, cut the brain open just to get to the thing. That'll cause more damage than it is, but they had to wait for it to get where they could remove
it. That just sucks.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you. I wouldn't want, I mean, can you imagine being like, ah, damn, go this side, sir, go, go.
Yeah. Hang on just a second. I'm getting a text message right now. This is like not the I'm being a bad host. JD, talk about something. Talk about the talk about Jay Leno for a minute.
Oh, the Jay Leno thing? Yeah. Oh, God. That kind of goes back to the whole Bill Cosby situation. Well, Bill Cosby has...
Well, this is like the opposite of the Bill Cosby thing, isn't it? Because Jay Leno did a good thing.
But he made the meat... He made his, what, female...
No. That's Letterman and Cosby requested that.
Sorry. You mean the Jay Leno car?
Jay Leno car thing. Yeah, Leno car.
I tell you what, the deal is they have the Dodge has one of the coolest cars out there right now, the Dodge Challenger. I mean, doesn't matter what you think about Dodge being quality wise or whatever, it's still just a sexy ass car. And then they added now they have like the most powerful engine that you've ever seen in a car, 700 some horsepower Hellcat engine, with the badass name too. So it's like all sorts of machismo, right? And Jay Leno's known for as being a car man. I mean, he's got freaking the Blastoline Special. He's got I swear to God, a bunch of Stanley Steamers, every old car you can think of.
Yeah, he's not wanting cars. He's not wanting for cars in any way, shape, or form.
So he shows up to pick up a wounded vet, a vet that had been wounded and no longer wounded. But I guess there was some sort of like a lotto that they had, picking people that had been wounded in action. And that person didn't know about it until he got there, but he's just showing, Jay Leno said, hey, thank you for what you did for a service. And he asked him what he thought of the car, and the guy's like, that's the coolest car ever. I'd sure like to have one of those one day. And, and Jay Leno said, hey, why don't you take it for a drive? Let's go for a ride. And so let him drive it, and they drove down the street and, said, get on a little bit. He's like, man, this is the coolest car ever. It's so neat. And he said, yeah, I'm glad you like it. Here, take the keys. You know, the soldiers don't make a lot of money, so it's
right.
Not exactly something they're going to... I mean, that's a $58,000 car or more, depending on options. And so the fact is he probably would never have had something like that. I don't know what the taxes are on the back end, if he's going to suddenly have to sell it to cover the taxes on it, but I hope nothing. You'd think the government would give that kind of stuff away, let that happen, but I don't know. But point is, the biggest point is that he just did that just... out of the blue, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's super cool of him to just sort of, give the dude the car. And, he of course, he's like, now don't get any tickets. And he's like, I can't guarantee that.
I cannot guarantee that.
There's no way.
Let's give you the reddest, fastest car you can think of.
Yeah,
and tell you not to get tickets.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's going to be a ticket magnet, even if he drives a speed limit. I mean, that's the way it goes.
It just gets tickets just naturally. It doesn't actually do anything wrong. It just says, hey,
it happens to attract tickets. It's like how some women attract assholes. It's the way it goes.
Yeah.
That's just the way that works. So let's talk about Florida Man for a second. So kind of going on the other realm entirely. And, of course, let me get this here. Our favorite superhero, Florida Man.
Woo, fixed it.
Yeah, it's no longer the voice of Satan. So the Jaguars cornerback is our Florida Man this time, because he was super drunk and he ran out of cash at a store in Miami, and he attempted to pay the clerk with bubble gum. And that... why would they accept that? Of course not. So he ended up getting arrested.
Whoa, wait. Did he actually steal the stuff and walk away?
No. He was being, disorderly conduct and everything.
Okay.
Yeah. He was arguing with the guy trying to get him to take bubble gum as payment.
Oh, nice.
It's just the same as real money.
I spent a lot of money in this gum.
I'm sorry. Anytime I try to imitate a drunk, it ends up sounding like Arthur.
Oh, God, I'm so funny.
What was that? What was that? There's a commercial about that where they try to... Orbitz, is it? Orbitz says, I'd rather get paid in gum. Maybe he saw the advertisement and said, hey, this has got to work. You never know. I don't know.
It's
probably really drunk and stupid, wouldn't he?
I would imagine, yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't pull the, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
I'm
the cornerback of the Jaguars.
Sorry, it still sounds like Arthur. Shit.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I can't get around that.
So when you get drunk, do you sound more like the Dustin Hoffman Arthur or the...
Dustin Hoffman, he was never Arthur.
I'm sorry. What was that guy's name? Back in the old Arthur.
Oh, God. Not Russell Brand.
not Russell Brand, right, yeah.
Oh, why can't I not remember the guy's name?
For some reason, I had Dustin Hoffman in my head for some reason. But it's
now
not.
I do. Man, I'm going to have to look that up here in a second, but I don't know. So that's our Florida man, the Jaguars cornerback, trying to use chewing gum for money. I guess he went there... to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
he's not out of bubble gum.
And he had plenty of bubble gum.
but he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, yeah.
By the cops.
All right, let's talk about Bill Cosby. Let's ride this pony. So Bill Cosby, well, it turns out he's a little bit of a scumbag, allegedly.
Yeah.
He's an alleged rapist 12 or 13 times. And, or at least a sexual assault. Drugging women and whatnot. And it's Bill Cosby, man. You know, it's like...
Janice Dickinson.
I don't know. I guess Jell-O pudding pops can't consent to you eating them.
Yeah.
So.
No, I know. It's kind of it's weird that it took this long for something like that to come out for that guy. I mean, if it was just once and it was from, like, 1972 because they were trying to hide it, I can understand it. But it's just odd that it's, like... suddenly that the case where I just bring it up out of blue.
Right. Yeah. It's super bizarre. These are things that, you know, my understanding is that even though there were a couple more recently that came out, I guess, the other allegations were around for years. It's just people ignored it because it's friggin' Bill Cosby.
He's
America's dad or whatever. So,
yeah. Maybe since it didn't work out very good for the guy from Seventh Heaven, they just said, hey, Bill Cosby can be busted now, too.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then there's a whole Arnold Schwarzenegger thing going on where Arnold was considered to be, like, what, a sexist pig or something like that?
Right.
Which you kind of expected that out of him anyways because he kind of actually looked like he might be. But you never heard about him raping anybody, but thank God. But you hear all of a sudden after, like, one little bad thing is brought up, then all the... past starlets come in and say, hey, yeah, he did this to me. Oh, yeah, he did this to me.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, these things do tend to happen sometimes because, you know, you hear a lot about victim shaming and women just not wanting to come forward because they're afraid of being shamed and ridiculed and whatnot. So, you know, it makes sense that if one person came forward, there may be multiple people coming forward. That doesn't bother me about that story. Obviously, the thing that bothers me is the alleged rape. You know that.
Well, if that's the thing. It's still alleged, though. Right now, it's not a. I mean, it sucks because the guy's been given he's been given a trial by the public. He's been given a public trial because of stuff that the media put out there.
Well,
I'm not saying he didn't do it because there's a hell of a lot of smoke. I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
usually there's smoke, there's fire. But at this time, it's like. He's losing his opportunity to make some money in his life because they're canceling the special.
Yeah, and you know, so NBC was canceled a sitcom. It was supposed to be his comeback, and there's just some super just weird stuff happening with Bill Cosby. But I wish we had time to talk about all of it. But unfortunately, we have to play another song. So, well, have to play another song. We're going to play another song because we play three songs in these podcasts. So anyway, here's us with Alcoholic Superman.
If you like this, come on out to the All-Star Rock Bar
Friday.
Friday the 29th or 28th, right?
28th. It's the 28th.
For Black Friday Bash.
Yep. But here's Alcoholic Superman. We're going to be playing this tune at the All-Star. So we'll be right back.
Just one more shot is what I need. Feels good as a rush, you stole from me.
And it will be super easy to get rounds for your buddies at the All-Star Rock Bar on Friday the 28th when we play with Exeter. So, so super, super quick. So, one thing that we didn't talk about with Cosby, and I'm just going to briefly mention this because it's friggin' weird. We don't have time to talk about it. A source told Gawker.com that female Letterman staffers were required to watch Cosby eat curry. Like, sit around, stand around. Not say anything, just watch him eat curry. So
what?
That's
it's just odd.
Yeah, that's super weird. That's I don't know. Like, that's so weird. It's almost like I think it might be made up, but it's hard to say because it's Gawker. So, but that's food for thought.
See what you did there? Yeah.
That does actually conclude the time we have for this podcast. If you have any comments, questions, criticism, or praise, contact at kcbastards.com, tweet at kcbastards, and search for Kansas City Bastards on Facebook. But until next time, I'm Tim Lyons.
I'm JD.
Don't be a dick.
Be a bastard.